Are there any like new additions that people can expect coming to the cart soon?
We're going to start soups because it's that time of year. And I just love being able to have a cup of soup every once in a while.
What kind of soups?
It'll really be just a vegetable stock with whatever veggies. I'm hoping, you know, whatever veggies are coming out of the Harvest Co-op.
Well, let me know
that
if you ever...
That way it stays fresh.
I mean, okay, first off, definitely into that. Let me know if you ever do chowder.
Oh, yeah, we'll do a chowder. my loaded baked potato soup is pretty good. And
that sounds pretty good.
I mean, you get a loaded baked potato. I'm one that always liked my greens, so I love it with broccoli. So we add broccoli to ours.
I bet the microgreens would be pretty good in that, too.
Some of the heartier ones? Yeah.
Yeah. What do you cook on Thanksgiving? I know you mentioned like some of the dishes, but are there any sort of like turkey hacks that you can give folks at home right now?
No. Well, this year's going to be different. I won't be having turkey. I'm going to attend a vegan Thanksgiving, and I'm very excited about that.
So what's that like? I mean, like I was still vegan then last Thanksgiving for health reasons, but I can't remember what I ate. I think I might have just like eaten rice or something. I think it might have been just a very unimpressive and kind of sad Thanksgiving. But I know that you can get pretty creative of it. So what's going on there? Tell us about that.
So I'll be making broccoli cauliflower casserole, which I've had on the cart. I add chicken in the cart to keep it hearty and a full meal. But it's easy to make anything that traditionally has, you know, meat products or anything like that. You just...
What's the substitution?
Well, they make a vegan sour cream.
Right.
And you can use other ingredients. But, I mean, the bulk of it is vegetables.
Right.
And you make your own homemade stuffing, so that, you know, and that goes on top.
What do you replace the turkey with?
I'm not sure what we're replacing the turkey with. I'll have to ask Ron.
Huh.
That was one question I didn't ask. I just knew what I was bringing.
That's like
you the could big probably
question.
Make a seitan.
Right. I feel like you could do it with tofu too, but
you probably could.
Yeah.
I did see someone sent me a thing how they made a loaf of bread in their oven that looked like a turkey.
Oh, yeah, with, like, milk bread. I was watching, like, the Great British Bake Off, and they were just making the most ridiculous things out of bread. They were like...
It's crazy what you can do with dough.
Oh, yeah, no, some guy, it was, like, from the recent season, some guy, like, made, like, a baby out of milk bread. It's kind of funny.
That's interesting. But yeah. To answer your question about turkey, I am a briner. I typically will brine mine overnight when I do that.
And interesting.
I like to just smoke it all day. It goes out at like, I don't know, 3 a.m. on a Traeger, and it's ready by 7:00.
People would
that night.
The big one in Phoenix, and this like shocked me because I didn't see this growing up in Washington State, was that people would deep fry and sometimes even bread the turkey.
No.
They would get like
that's cool.
They would get like crab pots and they would just fill them in oil and just put a whole turkey in there and just do it that way all day.
That would be interesting.
They're really into it. Like, I met a lot of people who did it that way.
I've never done that.
It's a down south thing, I think.
We lived there for a little bit. I guess I heard of people doing it. I usually heard the horror stories, like, be careful and, you know, burns and everything
right.
else. Playing with oil is not fun.
Right. No, I mean, I met, like, and I totally, like, never even heard of it in Washington. I was like, you can, like, I guess hypothetically you could get oil really hot and, like, immerse a turkey in it.
Put a turkey in it. Oh, that's interesting.
Oh man, those are some pretty crazy ones. No, my mom always ever did like this sweet potato casserole, and then like she would make these like rolls, and then she had to go gluten-free because she found out she had celiac, and that was like the end of that.
God, yeah, that'll yeah. stop that.
She found out how to make really good gluten-free ones. It has a this story has a happy ending.
That's good. That's always good.
We would always go over to this one neighbor's house, and they would typically do the turkey on their end. I mean, it was good. It was good, but it definitely wasn't, you know, deep frying it or anything crazy like that.
Yeah. I really enjoy the smoked flavor.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if anybody just puts the turkey in a salmon smoker here. That'd be the way to get the local flavor out.
There you go. I have never had that.
It's, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, I bet you could fit a turkey in there.
You probably could.
Oh, man. Listeners, call in if you've ever tried this. I really... Now I'm curious. So, what are you cooking around, like, Christmas time? What's, like, Christmas dinner on your table?
Christmas changes all the time. It's up to what the kids were in the mood for.
Mm.
But there's usually a homemade loaf of bread, some green vegetables. My favorite is sautéed green beans with very thinly sliced red onion and garlic and olive oil. Keep it simple. Only takes a couple minutes. Let them still have some crunch. Mashed potatoes and gravy. And then I prefer to be sustainable. And so something that, you know, we've harvested ourselves, whether it's elk or bison, something like that.
Right. Yeah, so for my family, like, we always knew exactly what we were having on Christmas because we always have the same thing every year, but, like, we don't eat it other times of the year, so it'd always be Christmas Eve, it's the crepes. I think one year we substituted, like, fondue, and we usually have, like, fondue in that week. Sorry, not fondue, raclette.
Okay.
Which is always very good. They would make, you know, they just, my parents would boil potatoes, they'd, you know, slice them in half, put prosciutto on them, then just pour cheese on it.
That sounds yummy too.
It's pretty tasty. And then they would do those crepes with those fillings that I was describing earlier. You know, for breakfast on Christmas, it's those cinnamon rolls that my mom would make. More crepes again for lunch, and then Christmas dinner would be roast beef every year.
Yeah, it was that way growing up. It was traditional, you know, turkey, or ham, or both.
Right.
But I like switching it up. I like seeing what's in the freezer and, you know, here's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my favorite, one year we did homemade pierogies.
Ooh.
And we just filled them with whatever we wanted and, like, lots of leftover. And I think, like, 2 days before we had done pulled pork, so we covered them in barbecue sauce.
Oh, what?
And stuffed that in the pierogi. That was really good.
Wow. That sounds pretty yummy.
There's no rules, you know, you can stuff anything you want in there.
Are you doing you did Thanksgiving on a roll recently? What was the makeup for that?
I got a phone call from the hospital auxiliary. We had done a fundraiser for them a few months ago and they wanted to do another one to be able, you know, money to put towards a scholarship, which I love doing. I love when the community gets together and does something for the good of others. But it was getting close to, you know, it's November. It's close to Thanksgiving. And I was like, you know, I let whoever's doing the fundraiser, whoever we're raising the money for, they can choose what they want on the menu. The women's shelter a couple weeks before had chosen crab mac and cheese. But this time they wanted Thanksgiving on a roll. So, yeah, we did turkey breast and mashed potatoes, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and gravy. And it was...
Was there a roll involved?
There was a roll. Yep. All on one of my steak rolls.
Oh, wow.
So we did that, and I ended up with a few Facebook messages saying, we heard it was good, and can you please do it again? We missed it. So oddly enough, it's I believe it's Thursday night's dinner special this week again.
Is it coming back for Thanksgiving?
I'm not sure. I know that my crew definitely needs the holiday off, so Thanksgiving will be closed. Maybe we'll do it again before Thanksgiving.
You can't spoil us too much, Diane.
I do. I love to spoil everybody.
Yeah. Oh, so are you doing any sort of like other like holiday special meals?
I'm not sure. I have been talking with Abby, and we're probably going to put together some things for like one thing each week before Christmas and the holiday season.
Like an Advent type of deal? Like
maybe, yeah. We're thinking of some, you know, little items. One of the things we wanted to do was pretzel bites with some beer cheese using the Kodiak Island Brewing Company's different beers.
Ooh, that sounds good.
We just tried it with North Pacific. It turned out pretty good.
You know one thing that I just realized?
What's
you
that?
Haven't been talking about sweets that you do for the holidays.
I'm a savory person.
Yeah, you don't like sweet things?
I do. I have to admit, we just had
a... Do you have, buckwheat cookies for Santa? Biscuits?
No, we do butter cookies and other things like that. And the kids are all into the sweets. Mm. But I just bid... Well, my daughter snuck a bid in at the fundraiser we had on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
and I ended up winning Mulaney's pumpkin-shaped cake.
Oh, wow.
And I have to admit, yes, I have been digging into it, and it's really good. And for a person that's not so into sweets, yeah.
It's always like, I mean, I don't get me wrong, I really like savory things, but I do like sweet things too, and I'm always like consistently surprised. And like, it's like, when like sweet and savory is combined, there's just no helping it. You know, it's just,
that's true.
It's just too tasty.
I do have my one sweet to go and cake, or I mean, the kids call it a log, but when you know, at the end of the season and you still have baking pumpkins lying around that you haven't used yet, you know, I'll bake one of those and
so, like,
turn it in. Well, I turn it into like a, it looks like a log. The house is usually covered in powdered sugar by the time I'm done, but you use a baking tray and that's what you, you know, use the pumpkin and some other ingredients and you put together this cake mix, in a sense.
Oh, wow.
And you put parchment paper and, you know, you put that the batter onto the pan, so it's very thin. And it's only 15 minutes or so. You take it out, you let it cool.
Oh, wow.
And then you flip it upside down into, like, a bed of confectioner's sugar.
Are you, like, secretly a baker, or are you mostly more on the chef side of things?
I'm definitely not a baker. I try my hardest. I did have a, you know, in culinary school, there was a whole semester of baking, and I did pass it.
Right, right.
But, you know, one of the most common comments would be, well, I'm sure it tastes great. You know, but, I mean, it's, and it did. It was fine.
To quote a local French chef who formerly ran the Mill Bay Coffee Company here locally, Joel once said, cooking is entirely an art. You can really make it up as you go, and baking is an exact science, and the recipe must be followed to the highest degree of precision.
He's not kidding.
Yep.
That is true.
So what are some of your, like, we're getting down to our last few minutes here. Are you, like, are there any sort of flavors that tend to, like, reappear in your cooking on the holiday season? Do you have, like, a pumpkin spice thing going on? Do you ever use, like, eggnog? Or your eyes lit up.
Last year, I actually, for the Women in Ag, for AK, I actually taught how to make authentic, like, my great-grandfather's recipe for eggnog.
Oh.
And that was fun because it was cool. I just got, you know, you go out in the backyard and you gather up the chicken eggs, wash them off, and get cracking.
Do you have the do you know the recipe by heart?
I'm not giving that one. There are two recipes. I never tell anyone the secret ingredient in my Colby sauce.
Okay.
Because that was another moment of pure laziness I had. And it's, I'll tell you, it's a fruit. But
oh, man.
That's all I'm going to say about that. And my great-grandfather's eggnog is amazing. And no, I keep that one because I like to give jars of it as a gift.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
I'll make sure you're on the gift list.
Oh, Diane, you really should have.
It is so good.
We're running down to our last few minutes here. Are there any, like, cooking, baking tips, recipes, ideas that you want to inform the general public of here?
I don't know about that. I shouldn't probably talk about baking. I mean, one of the benefits of going to culinary school is I did learn just how important measuring is in baking. But as someone who prefers the cooking end and the chef side of it and just being able to put whatever they want in there, I've had to learn more about what the texture should be like. For example, I made cornbread, and, you know, not from a box. And sometimes you want to put that cream corn in there just to make it look really yummy. And, you know, you have to accommodate for that liquid and things like that, and that's not for me. I don't mind doing it once in a while, but not all the time.
Okay, well, Diane, I really wanted to thank you for coming on to the show today. If you'll indulge me, I'm just going to do a little bit of pitching for KMXT's fundraiser right now.
Awesome.
Membership dollars are vital to Kodiak Public Broadcasting Corporation. In fact, those are our most reliable dollars each year. State funding changes every year or just goes away entirely, but membership and support from listeners like you help us keep important coverage like local, statewide, and national news on the air. Become a member
Hunger today by giving us a call at 907-486-3181 or donating online at kmxt.org. I would just like to plug that if you like programming like this, if you like hearing Diane on, it's definitely a lot easier for us to do that with your help and support. So I would just like to take a moment to thank the listeners. We appreciate all you guys very much. And of course, Diane, thank you as well. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, thanks for asking.
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in for another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. I was your host today, Dylan Samard. Everybody have a lovely afternoon.